The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
I do enjoy talking to academics because they provide an unbiased look at the big picture of technology and they think a lot about the trends. I got a chance to talk to Dr. Yossi Sheffy from MIT about the future of work, how AI impacts it, and where he thinks we're going on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. I'm going to start with a bit of a headline because, you know, with as the listeners to this show are talking to their customers, they're trying to think of the ways to implement AI and what it's going to do to those businesses. And I think the headline to sort of ask is this going to destroy jobs or create more within these businesses?
Well, depending on who you ask. But since you ask me, I'll give you my opinion on this. In my book that I just published, the Magic Conveyor Belt, I look at the first of all historical perspective, the various industrial revolutions and what happened in them, and it's clearly that some few jobs were lost, but many, many more jobs were created, and surprisingly, a lot of jobs stays. It took actually much longer than people realized for jobs to get destroyed. I think it was in The Economist or one of the publications that I just read, that we had these telephone operators, you know. Hi, Sally is not in today. She just went to the supermarket. I'll tell her you call, type of thing, plugging the plugs into the exchange. It took ninety years until we saw the last of the exchange operators. In fact, in the automatic telephone exchange, the dial actually originally was invented in 1892, I think. At 1950, there were still 350,000 operators in the United States. So it takes a lot. Why does it take so long? Because there are many, many hurdles on the way. First of all, technology, just like ChatGPT today, just like generative AI today, is not perfect. It makes mistakes. ChatGPT also hallucinates, creates stuff from whole cloth. Okay, so you need people to understand it, to monitor it, to keep an eye. Then in terms of technology adoption in general, there are lots of things that stand in the way. For example, labor. Labor union, in many cases, just don't allow it to happen. It's not clear that governments will be jumping up and down, for example, if AI would be able to supplement and reduce the rank of teacher and police officers. So you can do a lot of crime fighting with AI. But if this will mean reducing the size of the police force, people will have a problem with it. So governments are not ready to do it. And then there's the acceptance in general. We think about autonomous trucking. You know, that's in my area, logistics, autonomous trucking is a big deal. So the idea that a large driverless truck, a large box, will be running on the highway behind you may be disconcerting. And to make the point, you know, today 777, 787, A350, all these modern airplanes are actually drones. They can go from gateway to gateway with no pilot. Would you go on an airplane with no pilot? Very few people will. And in fact, probably nobody will. Because we are used to certain things. Last examples. In 1945, 15,000 elevator operators in New York went on strike. They wanted more pay. New York came to a grinding halt because people were afraid to go to an elevator without an operator, even though the operation was very simple, and they saw it all the time when they were running the elevator. There was a little wheel. You move it up, you move it down. That's it. But people were afraid to do it, and the city had to settle. Of course, about 3 years later, 3 years later, Otis came with the elevator that we know today. So there's a question of acceptance. There's a question of regulation. You know, we now hear talks for how long would it take? And by the way, some countries, Italy, outlawed ChatGPT. I mean, there's so many hurdles on a quick adoption. And I should say, at the same time, ChatGPT is the fastest growing, you know, app ever. I mean, it more than anything in recent memory. But it's still not clear how to use it. Last point. One should remember that various form of AI is used already. When we see robots running in the warehouse, when we see even Google Map predicts what will be the congestion the next half an hour on the way. There are many, many applications already built into what we use every day. But generative AI is kind of the next step because we think it has, if you don't understand what it does, and the truth is, very few people, maybe nobody, understand completely how everything is done, especially with things like ChatGPT-4, with the GPT-4, which is a big advance and can do some amazing thing. And it looks like human. Make response like human. But if you understand that it was trained on human data, so of course it will make mistakes like human because it built a sentence and look at the probability of the next word given where we are. But all the training data is human-generated data. So of course it will look like human. But since it uses probability, it sometimes will make outrageous mistakes or claims that are just not true. So coming back to the question of would I lose my job? This is, by the way, I hear from journalists. I just had to talk to a journalist who told me, Yossi, I'm on a ledge. I'm ready to jump. Tell me. I said, well, first of all, come down, take a cup of tea, then we'll talk. Because people think that it will happen tomorrow. First of all, if it takes a long time. There are also so many jobs that are not going to go away. And we can talk more about this. I can take examples and the rationale why so many jobs will not go away. But we can talk about it more.
Well, you've in a way validated my thinking, because I've been thinking that the real application here is the branding Microsoft has embraced, which is that of Copilot. I think it's much more about enabling, and it's helping people be more effective versus full replacement. But
yeah, example of this, when, you know, in university, some of my colleagues are worried about ChatGPT, you know, people are losing their, tell them, look, think about spreadsheet. Before spreadsheet, you wanted to do a financial model. You had to go to a programmer and program in COBOL probably, and they took back and forth, took months to do it. Now you download some data and do it yourself on the spreadsheet or in Excel or whatever. This is just like this. It's a tool. So what we have to do, teach students how to use it well, how to know how to monitor the results, and be able to use it effectively. It's a tool.
Well, let's think about that use of tool, because you spent a lot of time thinking about automation systems and supply chains. Where are the obvious places that we should be helping customers deploy the tool?
Okay, so first of all, already one of the areas where it's going gangbusters, I mean going like a hockey stick, is warehouse automation. Warehouse automation, whether it's Amazon or anybody else, everybody's automating warehouse. It was going on for a long time, but during the pandemic and the later the shortage of workers, it just took off. I mean, people are automating warehouse. Technology exists. It's working well. Interestingly, however, Amazon, which is leading in warehouse automation, after they introduced, you know, they bought the Kiva robot, and then anyway, they actually worked them, and now they're even better. Hire 1.2 million people after that. So because they got more business, it became better, they were able to do more. There's still a lot of jobs. One has to understand that in this case, in watching how the AI is performing, people have one huge advantage: they understand context, which AI does not, because they just look at the next word and the next word. There's no context. There's no, call it artificial intelligence, is misleading. It's not intelligence, really. It's a very, you know, systematic way of doing probability and working off, a list of words. But understanding context, you get the result, be able to understand it, be able to judge it, is a skill that will be in very high demand in the future.
So what skills should we be helping our customers learn? Like, what should we, if we want to develop training programs or invest in customers, it's a great service, what should we be teaching them to be more effective?
There's one, let me first of all talk about one problem. The problem is that if the job is to monitor what the robots is doing or what the AI is doing, it's a tough job because it's boring and you lose concentration. And many examples of people, you know, relying too much on the AI and lost concentration, and the AI went awry. So first of all, we have to invent new modes of monitoring robots and AI and all kind of automated machine. I think about the driver who's sitting in an autonomous car, or the first driver in a platoon of 3 or 4 cars. They're all, there's no driver there. Well, the idea is the driver is there in case something happens, you know, get the wheel and do something. So easy to fall asleep. It's so easy to get into a set, to forget what you're doing and not pay attention. So we have to find out ways of doing it, way of alerting, changing, doing things. It's a whole new area of psychology, maybe. We have to have enough people in the organization who know the underlying process, even though we have robots. Because when something happened, like, you know, a cyber attack, in 2017, when Russia attacked Ukraine, the cyber attack on Ukraine, and Maersk, the largest or the second largest ocean shipper in the world, came to a grinding halt. All the computer went dark. But fortunately, they have enough people who could still write manifests by hand and fax it, so they can still keep going. We need to keep this, and that's again, it's difficult, because we need to keep these skills fresh, even though people are not using it every day. They're just monitoring. So keeping the skill fresh is an issue. Lastly, some of the problem, let's say we can keep the skill fresh and we have people with, so we need people with 5 to 10 years of experience. If the simple job will be automated, how do we hire people with 5 or 10 years of experience if people who finished school don't have any experience and the job that they could go into are already automated? Well, in my book, I talk about several examples of what to do. I just mentioned one. It's the German dual education system. Over 50%, 52, 53% of German high school graduates don't go into university. They apply to a company, and the company apply for them to a local college, and they work. It's 4 years, half-time in the college, learn the theory and the background, half-time actually working and doing the job. The German government is totally involved. They identified 350-some jobs this apply to. Everybody gets help, the company, the university, but they come out with experience. They already know how to do the job. So this is just one example. What the government needs to start thinking about, and it's not too late, start thinking about how we go through the transition. Some people will get thrown out of the job. It's not going to happen by Friday. It will take years and maybe more than years, but also the preparation take a long time. And for example, because we have in some way to change culture. In the United States, every mother, not only Jewish mother, want their son to go to college, to tell her parents and her neighbors, my son goes to college. No, this is, your son goes to college and will be in debt for the next 20 years. What kind of return is this? So maybe we should do something like this when people learn a job, go to university and come out with a profession. So just some idea, but it takes time to build all this. So I'm encouraging the, you know, government, universities, companies to start thinking about it. Some companies are starting to do it, by the way. Some companies are starting to do it.
So what's something then that smaller organizations can do to start getting themselves and their customers ready? What would you tell them to spend their time working on?
Okay. First of all, get familiar with training software. We live in a great time from that point of view that there are so many MOOCs and online courses and YouTube video that, you know, it's easy to get to upgrade your own skills, but people should be responsible. Some companies give you the time to do it and actually help you do it. But at the end of the day, it's a personal responsibility. I mean, you should keep learning all the time. In addition, I would focus on software like not so much education, education training, of course, but on what they call mini tasking. There's a, think about the AR goggles that you go to pick up the next package in a warehouse. It shows you only where it is. It shows you what's on the package, where it is going. Just because you wear this and it gets information from the system and it shows you exactly what to do. Like, this is kind of mini instruction. I think this will be big in the future, getting to mini instructions, whether it's, by the way, even for office worker, get a window open, shows you how to do something, or something in the warehouse, in the plant, whatever. So I would focus on some of this. I think this will be a big area. They are already big. They'll be bigger.
So you've got a new book out. If people are interested in learning more, what's the book and where can they get a copy?
The book is called The Magic Conveyor Belt, and the subtitle is Supply Chain AI and the Future of Work. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. It's available on Apple, Google, all these online stores, basically. So this is available everywhere. The books start talking about explaining supply chain, because actually the early motivation for the book was that, guess what? After the pandemic, people discovered supply chain. It's an issue. So people ask me, oh, you've been working on supply chain for years and years. What is it? Explain. So I start by explaining why it is big, why it's complicated, and then what technology is being used. And then I got to the various AI, including generative AI, and talk about it and explain it, and got to the jobs, because that's what people are concerned about. So if you want to learn more about classification of what type of job may disappear, what type of job will be generated, and why I am not in the camp of people who are worried about all the jobs will go away. No, they're not. There's so many things that humans are better and likely to be better than any algorithm for the foreseeable future. So I'm in the camp of less worried about it. But get ready and prepare yourself.
Well, that's a positive note to end on. Dr. Sharfi, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's Jeanlet Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries.
Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.